For everyone else, would you please take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 16? So again, next week we are going to be finishing up our 50-day focus, our 50-day series on being moved by mission. We began with the simple question, what moves you? And as God's people, we need to be moved by mission. And we've been looking at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, where Jesus commands his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the earth. Now, here's the thing that we know, that Christ invites his followers, and I would say more than invites, he challenges his followers to live on mission, to continue what it is that he started. Now, I know that whenever you talk about mission, there's always can be a little bit of tension on the inside. So last week when I was sharing, you know, I just kind of was like, oh, I was just reminded of this tension. I was like, I better deal with it at the start of this one. And that is this. How many know that some of us, we look at the idea that God wants to use our lives on mission, and we're like going, how can I live on mission because my life is already a mess? I've got so much to do. I am just tired with already everything that's going on, and just getting to church can be a bit of a challenge. Anybody in the room that feels some of that at times? And sometimes we think, oh my goodness, there's just so much going on. There's the ups and the downs. There's just all the movement of things. And sometimes we're just like going, God, how can you even use me? I don't know if I have the energy. I don't know if I have the time. I just look at me. I'm a bit of a mess. But the good news is this, is that God challenges and chooses to use us, even in the midst of all our imperfections. And the thing that we have to understand is that sometimes life goes up and sometimes life goes down. Now, how many of you like roller coasters? Where's my roller coaster people? You like, okay, so we got some of our roller coaster people. The thrill of going up and hearing the clatter, clack, 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 as you're going up, 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 and then you get to the top and the clattering stops. And then there's that slow lean forward and then the drop. That sets your heart about up here, right? And I know some of you, you love it. How many of you, you look at a roller coaster and say, uh-uh, ain't for me, no day, doesn't matter. My children, you know, you're just like, that is not for me. So I have found that as I have gotten older, not that I'm old, as I've gotten older, some of these rides just don't work so well for me. Like, if a ride is spinning, that is just not good. Can I get a witness on that one? How many of you like the spinning ride? You're like, okay, that's like, oh. Another ride is the roller coaster. So one time, I remember we were at Darien Lake, and the kids were a bit smaller then, and so Samantha was like, Dad, I want to go on the boat that goes not just back and forth, but eventually loops all around. But before it loops, it stops at the top. And nobody wanted to do it. And so I was like, Sam's like, Dad. I'm like, okay, I'll go. And I got on it and back and forth. Now, I love the boat that just goes back and forth. I'm like, that is so fun. Yay! You know, like, that's just a fun feeling. But all of a sudden, you know, as it goes up and it keeps whipping you up a little higher, and then you're sitting at the top, and all the blood is rushing to my head. And I'm thinking to myself, you dummy, you did it again. And then all of a sudden, it goes over and just starts spinning and spinning, and I'm getting, ugh, this isn't good. And we get off of that, and I'm like, oh, good Lord, my belly is not good. And then Samantha's like, Dad, let's go on the roller coaster. And it's the boomerang at Darien Lake, which is you ride it in one direction, and then you get to the end, and it puts you up, and then it sends you through it backwards. Yeah, and I got off of that, and I'm like going, okay, I'm pretty close to done. No, I am done, and I'm like going, dude, these are the rides. Like, I think I would prefer none of those. Like, you get to a point, you're saying, you know what, the ups and downs, I am done with that. You know, I kind of think about it, because how many know life can be a little bit like a roller coaster? And sometimes we're like going, we end up on a ride that we don't necessarily want to be a part of, that's filled with some exciting highs and sometimes some terrifying lows. And we can get to places where we're like, oh, you know what? I'm just done. This isn't for me anymore. Like, I'll just choose to live just kind of like low, even, not high, not low, just kind of unmoving. Just keep it easy and simple. And many times that's how people choose to live out their life. And sometimes when it comes to the mission of Jesus, we think, oh, there's way too many highs, too many lows. I've done that before. I just give me something easy. Church is so much easier if I can just go to it and sit down, listen, sometimes get a good nap, go home, get another one. That's good. But the thing that we need to understand is that Jesus actually challenged and calls each one of us to live on mission. And we'd be like, I don't know if I have the stomach for that. And I got to tell you, there can be moments you're like going, dude, I don't know if this is what I want to be a part of. But can I tell you, you were actually made with purpose and for purpose. There are people in this world that only you can be the ones that can reach them. Because God has strategically placed you. He has strategically called you, and He wants to allow your life to be used in such a way to make a difference in the world around us. And in order for us to do this mission stuff well, we've talked about a variety of different things we need to do, but one of the things we have to learn to do is navigate just the ups and downs of life and of living on mission. And so we're going to look at a passage in Matthew chapter 16, and you're going to see it's going to kind of take us up and it's going to take us down and up again and down again. It's got this kind of like, whoa, and this is part of following Jesus. And I have to tell you, sometimes we're just like, I don't know if I'm up for it. Because we can feel that our hearts have just grown weary through the ups and downs of life. And sometimes we begin to wonder, is it time for something new? We can even become uncertain of commitments and say, you know what, I just need to pull back because our hearts are just tired. Sometimes, as we go in the ups and downs, our emotions get frayed. Have you ever been through those seasons where your emotions are just like, they're just way too close to the surface for your own comfort? That sometimes it's just like, sometimes it's as if there's this, you know, this frustration, and all of a sudden it just breaks out in rage. The other time the emotion can be so great that all of a sudden you're just in a place, and then something small happens, and it's the straw that breaks the camel's back, and the tears don't stop. You're just like going, this ups and downs, this is too much. Sometimes in the midst of the ups and downs of life, our thinking just simply becomes unclear, and we just have a hard time trying to make sense of things. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Being in these places. But what we have to do, and whether it's living on mission or just living life, we actually have to learn to navigate the ups and downs, because how many know that's just part of the ride of life that we're a part of. It has ups and it has downs. And so I just want to think around this idea for a few minutes this morning, because, so this is my big idea. It's not glamorous. It's not deep. It's just simply this: success in mission requires navigating the ups and downs. Like, if we're going to have a life that makes the difference God's calling us to make, we actually have to learn how to navigate the ups and the downs. So we're going to read a passage beginning in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, and we're going to read all the way through 17:5. And I know we have the verses for the screen. If you have your Bible, I invite you to follow along. You can see them on the screen. But as I read it, I want you to just kind of think about the ups and the downs just in this short time that Matthew is talking about. And this is what it says, beginning of verse 13 of Matthew 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Now, chapter 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Okay, fun passage. I wanted to get it all out there. The ups and the downs. How many, as we read that passage, you saw some higher points? And how many of you saw some lower points? The ups, the downs. Just so you know, there's one time where Peter is commended. There are 2 times where he's rebuked. And we're going to look at all of these. And I think this is actually really interesting because serving Jesus is an adventure. And I want you to know that Jesus is leading his followers, and they too experience, just like us, the ups and downs of life and even living on mission, even when Jesus is with them. And so again, I go back to this idea that if we're going to live on mission well, then it requires us to learn to navigate the ups and downs. So I'm going to just look at 2 really big ideas with some subpoints, and then we're going to bring this thing to a close. But this is the thing that I want to start with. The ups. I want to talk about the ups of living on mission. And that is this, like, if you want to think about why live on mission, let me give you 5 real quick things why living on mission is so good. Because living on mission allows us to experience significant God moments. Significant God moments. God moments are those moments where it seems as though God himself has stepped into the situation and you're so aware of his presence, his moving, that there's a confidence that arises in your heart because you're like, God is here. And part of this idea of the reason we serve on mission is because when we serve on mission, we are partnering with what God is doing in our world. And when we partner with what God is doing, he'll show up and he'll do things. And you'll be like going, "Oh my goodness, God is in this place. He is in this moment. He is up to something and he is doing stuff." I can testify a whole bunch of different things in my own life where I have seen God show up, whether it's touching hearts. I'll give you some examples of what these can look like. These God moments can look like divine approval. Like, Peter's up there on the mountain. Jesus is asking, well, who do people say that I am? And they're saying, well, some are saying this. But he's like, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And all of a sudden, you know, Peter, you know, stands up. He's like, well, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds by going, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Blessed are you. Like, all of a sudden, it's like going, you know, Peter, you know, I want you to know you got it right. You got it right. Like, there's this idea of heaven smiling on you. How many here know what it's like to have the favor of someone? Like, it's just like going, hey, you know what? You did it. I know that as kids, we look to our parents, and there's just something about mom or dad saying, you know what? I love you. I'm proud of you. Man, that was awesome. You did amazing. And there's something I want you to know. Our Heavenly Father has moments in our life when we choose to live on mission that all of a sudden he will just, it will be like just this blessing of God that will be spoken over our lives, and you feel it. Not only that, there's divine approval, but there's also divine insight. And part of the divine approval for Peter came from the fact that there was this divine insight. Because Peter's like, you're the Son, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus is like, hey, I want you to know, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. This was revealed to you from my Father in heaven. How many have had those moments where all of a sudden something begins to make sense? And there are times that we go through a whole bunch of things and we're like going, why did I go through all of that? And there can be that frustration and you're in the midst of the ups and downs because of what you're going through and you're totally overwhelmed by it. And then all of a sudden there's that moment. And it's as if the light comes on and God just reveals something to your heart. And all of a sudden all the worry, all the angst, all that stuff in that space changes because there's a new idea that God has dropped into your heart. So I remember one thing for me. So like I grew up, I was a pastor's kid, so we grew up in these different communities, and so it wasn't odd for us to change schools, and so I actually changed schools quite a bit. And I remember I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and then we were also part of the Pentecostal Holiness Church, which required all these high standards. Like, you know, you can't wear makeup, which was disappointing. I'm just kidding. Women had to wear skirts. You couldn't play cards. You couldn't go to movies. You couldn't go to dances. You couldn't have fun. That's what it seemed like growing up. And so I grew up in this. And doing these things were the way by which you honored God with your life. That if you wanted to be pleasing to God, you didn't do all these things. And so we had a really long list. Well, in the midst of one of our moves, we changed school again. And then my parents sent me to a Christian school. Because how many know Christian schools are just so much better than public schools? Don't raise your hands. Eric's like, what's going on, right? So I went to a Christian school. But what I didn't understand, because I was young and inexperienced, not understanding, I went to a Christian school that on the theological spectrum was on the opposite end of our church experience. So we grew up in a very legalistic, very, like I was always afraid. I was giving my heart to Jesus all the time because if you didn't, you sinned, all of a sudden Jesus is sitting up there. He writes your name in the book of life. He's like, Jesus, I need you. And then you're like going, oh, I did something wrong, and he's erasing your name. And then you're like, Jesus, I'm sorry. He writes it back in, and then he's erasing. That's kind of like the theological paradigm I kind of grew up in. And then I went to a school on the other side that was great because it was a once saved, always saved. So your name got written in, and you're good to go. It's in there. And I got to tell you, they believed it with confidence. Because this entire list of things you couldn't do, good night, you could do them. And so as a young person, okay, like I'm talking junior high, I'm on this camp and I am hearing all these things. And you got to understand, there's a little part of me that's confrontational. I don't know if you know this about me or not, but I can be a little confrontational. And for me, it was, and I knew I was called to pastor, and I was called to represent Jesus, and I was like, you know what I need to be? I need to be the thundering prophet. Because I'm over in this place where everybody is doing all the things that are on the list, and I'm like, dude, I just need to, I need to set these people straight. And so I got to tell you, junior high was a very, very tough season for me at school because there was such internal angst. And there were times I would go home crying because I was like going, you know what? Nobody wants to be my friend. Well, hey, who wants to be the friend of a prophet? There's that, right? That's a totally different. But I remember I wrestled through so much. And I was super confrontational. There were times that I would, you know, like I would thunder at people, and they're like, "Going, well, I will see you after school outside." And I had to run home in fear. All those things. I had a girl once take a pencil and stab me, and I put my hand up, and she put it in my hand, and I still have that mark today. And I got to tell you, it was so hard. And I was just like, "What does it like this following Jesus?" There were two different things. And I got to tell you, it was super hard on me. Many years later, I look back, and I remember that moment where God said, "Listen, I knew what I was doing when I placed you where I placed you. And I grew up in this camp, and I went to school in this camp." And God says, "Listen, I have used that in order to help shape you to serve people." And I got to tell you, there's something that I can do. I can actually, I can wrestle two sides pretty good here. And finding attention, and how do we find balance in this? What does it look like to be a follower of Jesus and my two experiences? And I remember all the stuff from my childhood that I was so angsty about. All of a sudden, in that moment of divine insight, it made sense. And all of a sudden, I had peace with my past. And a whole bunch of things that I went through. And that which at so many times I wrestled with, and I had my ups and downs through that stuff. And all of a sudden, God just made it clear to me. And you know what? I look back and I am so grateful for what I went through. Because it was foundational for shaping me. And I want you to know that when we follow Jesus on mission, there are moments where God will open your understanding. It may not make sense now. But when we follow Jesus on mission, he'll bring insight, divine insight, that all of a sudden it's going to set stuff at peace. And the reason is because there are moments where he, in a sense, opens our understanding to heaven's perspective. And this is part of the reason why I think it's so important we live on mission, because all of a sudden, when we do that, God helps us make sense of the stuff that we've been through. And I'm so grateful because God wastes nothing. And I'll just tell you, maybe you got some stuff in your history that's not pretty. Maybe there's stuff in your history that you've wrestled with, and you're just like going, "God can't use me because of my yesterday." I want you to know God wastes nothing, and he can use that stuff in order that you might be a person that ministers his grace to people in ways that they never imagined possible. Okay, let me fly through this, the rest of the stuff. There's divine approval. There's divine insight. There's divine empowerment. Like, I love the idea that Jesus looks at Peter and says, you know, "Upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it." And then he says this, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom." So I thought of a new ministry for Asbury Church. I think this would be great. How many think Asbury Church should have valet parking? Pull up, and we'll have it hosted by the youth ministry. I mean, I think that would be a lot of fun. Have you ever given a young person a set of keys and say, "Hey, go move the car," and they're like, "Oh, you gave me the keys?" Okay, like we won't talk about absconding with vehicles or anything like that, but you're just like, wow. How many know keys give you permission? How many know with the keys there's something that's empowered? Can I just tell you, when you choose to live on mission, there is an empowering that God gives you so that you can actually minister in places that are minister in ways that are greater than what you think your capacities are. And he says, listen, I want to give you the keys. And just so you know, this is what's great about Peter. He gets the keys, and sometimes he drives well, and sometimes he drives into ditches. It's kind of great. But there's an empowering. And I want you to know that when we choose to live on mission, there's a divine empowering that's available to us. Fourthly, there's divine opportunities. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and he led them up to a high mountain, and he revealed his glory to them. They were given an opportunity to experience something that a very few people would ever see. And this is part of this idea. When we serve on mission, God will open doors in your life. He will give you divine opportunities that are way greater than you ever thought possible, even for your own life. You see, God has a way of getting us where he wants us to be. And sometimes when we serve on mission, he will open doors for you. Because when we serve on mission, part of the ups, living on mission, we experience significant God moments. And God is like, listen, I am opening a door for you. And how many know that there are doors that he can open that no one can shut? The last thing about these God moments is there are divine appointments. That there are people that God brings across our path at just the right time. And they can be destiny-shaping events. Sometimes it's for you, sometimes it's for the other person. But when you begin to live on mission, I want you to know there are God moments that manifest in your life. Okay, so all these divine approval, insight, empowerment, opportunities, appointments. This is why we should live on mission, because God's like, listen, I want to do stuff in and through your lives. Yet, if those are the ups, what are the downs? I want to talk for a few moments about the downs. The downs of living on mission are this, is that we experience significant human moments. How many know in life, sometimes our humanity leaks? How many know sometimes our own issues get lived out in the stuff around us? It's interesting that in these human moments and in the ups and downs of life, everybody deals with these, whether it's life or mission, it doesn't matter. Everybody deals with these things. One of the things we do is this. Our human moments, we wrestle with expectations. We wrestle with expectations. We think it's going to be this, and it's this. How many know that when people get married, they get married and they have these expectations? Happily ever, they lived happily ever after. How many know marriage doesn't always make you happy? Don't. I know the people here, like, don't. It's, I know Patrick's like, oh, shoot, what do I do on this one? Like, it's just like, I heard love is blind. Marriage is an eye-opener. How many have had an eye-opened or two? You're like, oh, my word. But your expectation, it's going to be a certain way. And then it's not like that. Same in doing mission, living on mission. Sometimes we have this expectation. It's all up here. God's going to open doors. We're going to hit all those divine things by Wednesday. It's going to be amazing. And then our expectations run into reality. And you're like going, oh, this just looks like last Wednesday. And the Wednesday before that. It's interesting that after this great pronouncement of who Jesus is like, okay, so now you understand who I am. Now I want to tell you what the mission's going to be and how it's going to look. And he's like, hey, from that time on, it says, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. Okay, this is not what the disciples were thinking was going to happen. You're going to what? The plan is what? Death? It's going to be opposition? No. The plan is this. You are going to be the triumphant king, and you're going to make everything right. And Jesus is like, no, hey, just heads up. This is the play, boys. This is what's going to happen. Is we're going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die. Now, he will say he'll rise again, but how many know there's some words that you get that you don't hear after, stuff afterwards? And they're like, what is this? And we wrestle with expectations. Expectations, I like to define expectation as the gap between experience and expectation. How we define frustration. It's the gap between experience and expectation. That the greater the gap, the more dissonance we feel, the more internal tension we feel. Like we expect it's going to be like this, and it shows up down here, and all of a sudden there's stuff on the inside that we just start wrestling with. Some of you are wrestling with a whole bunch of stuff because you're not living your expectation. Your experience right now is below your expectation, and you are wrestling with so much. Part of our humanity is wrestling with expectations. Because very rarely does life go as we think it will. But not only do we wrestle with expectations, we also deal with our deficiencies. I love how these stories focus on Peter, whose future significance was overshadowed by his inconsistent start. Right? I love the fact that you know, Jesus is like, who do you say that I am? Peter stands up. He's this, you know, the gold star student, and he's like, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, and there's great applause, heaven's favor's on you. And then Jesus is like, okay, guys, here's the play. And then he's like going, no, Lord, that's not going to happen. And it says he took him aside and rebuked him. Okay, how many of you feel like rebuking Jesus? You're like, oh, I don't think I... But Peter's like, no, Jesus, this is not going to happen. Not on my watch. This is not what... And so he opens his mouth. This will never happen to you. How many know that sometimes in our lives, part of our deficiency is we have a tendency to say stuff we later regret? How many know there's times that our words, because of the tension of the moment, man, it just stuff comes out and there's no way we can get it back. Sometimes it's our attitudes, sometimes it's our actions. And what's really interesting about this passage is it says this, Jesus will say this, get behind me, Satan. So one on one side, he's hearing God's voice. On the other side, Jesus is like, get behind me, Satan. How many think that's a big drop? Right? And then Matthew records this. Jesus looks at Peter and says, you are a stumbling block to me. Okay, how many feel that burn? How many know that sometimes our deficiencies become the stumbling block to what God wants to do in and through our lives? That sometimes God's like, listen, I have stuff that I've called you to. There's stuff that I have work for you to do. There are lives that I need you to touch. Yet because of the deficiencies, those reactionary moments, those words, those actions, those attitudes, all of a sudden, our responses are a stumbling block to what God wants to do. He goes on to say, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but the concerns of humans. And the truth is so often our thinking is bound by the things that we see in our world. And we reflect the things from our experience, our culture. And I think this is so important because sometimes in our lives, you know, there's the expectations we wrestle with, but there's our own shortcomings. Our own failings, our own deficiencies, our own sins, our own behaviors. And sometimes we get to the place where we're like, oh, you know, there's no way that I could play this game, that there's no way I could serve this purpose. Do you see how flawed and damaged I am? What I actually love about the story is that even after Jesus calls Peter, he says, you know, get behind me, Satan. 6 days later, he says, Peter, I want you to come up a mountain with me. Peter, I want you to come up here. I want you to see who I really am in the midst of all of this. Peter's failures were not an excuse for God or for Jesus to write off Peter. He just said, listen, I love you so much that even though you have these moments, I still want to bring you to a higher place. I want to reveal myself to you. I want to help change the way you think. The downs of living on mission, experiencing significant human moments. We wrestle with expectations, dealing with our deficiencies. And sometimes we just second guess the cost of following. Sometimes it's hard to be Jesus. Sometimes it's hard to live on mission in a broken world. Sometimes we're like, well, when is it going to be my turn? He talks about you will lose to gain. You're like, I lost this, so where's my gain? This idea of denying yourself. And we still wonder, when is it going to be my turn? And we wrestle with these human things. And I think this is important because in life we wrestle with the ups and downs. We get the God moments, we get our human moments. We got those moments where we see the glory of God. There's times where we have to wrestle and deal with our own humanity. And truly for us to live on mission, we actually have to learn to navigate both the ups and the downs. Okay, worship team, you can come. We're going to close. You see, the thing that I believe that the way we navigate the ups and downs is we actually have to learn to do some things. And that is learning to steady our hearts, steady our emotions, and steady our hearts, our emotions, and our thinking. And the way we do it is as Jesus teaches us in this passage. There's a part of us, and no matter the up or the down, we just have to choose to keep following. Jesus said, whoever would come after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Can I just tell you, the way we navigate ups and downs in life, how many know the ups and downs are inconsistent? In the midst of the ups and downs that happen, we just have to learn to steady ourselves and say, okay, so I am going to, in the midst of the ups and downs, I am consistently going to choose to follow Jesus. See, we keep our eyes upon him. The other way we steady ourselves is we have to keep waiting. Now, I don't know about you, I hate waiting. I'm an impatient person. I would rather have things now than later. But so much happens later. And can we be okay with later? In verse 27, Jesus says this, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels. And then, everybody say then. All right, how many said it's not now, it's when? Then. Not now, but then. Then he will reward each person. Can I just tell you, there are some blessings, there are some goods that we may never experience during this leg of the journey. And we have to be okay with that. Because our confidence isn't what we have just now. We have Jesus, but it's a confidence of knowing that, hey, guess what? In the end, he will make everything right. I want you to know the story is not done yet. Be patient. In the midst of the ups and downs, learn to wait upon him. And lastly, learn to listen. If we're going to steady ourselves, we need to keep following, keep waiting, and to keep listening. So just so you know, the second rebuke in the story is when Peter's like going, Jesus, it's good that we're here. Let's build three tents, tabernacles, for you, for Elijah, for Moses. Hey, let's hang out up on the mountain. And because that's where we like all the high stuff. And God, Father God speaks. This is my beloved Son, whom I love. Listen to him. Whose benefit was that for? Well, it wasn't for Jesus' benefit. Or for Moses or Elijah. It was for Peter, James, and John. Specifically Peter. Because Peter would rather hang up there. He's like going, listen, hey, you've got to learn to listen to Jesus, whether it's the highs or lows. The way you steady your heart in the midst of the ups and downs is not only do you choose to follow, not only do you choose to wait, but you choose to listen. Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord, I'm listening. that listening will begin to bring a peace to your heart. Because there are divine moments where he begins to speak. And when he speaks, he begins to create that which is good. And even though the road may go up and down and up and down, there is a grace that we can experience through it all by what he speaks. Success in the mission requires navigating the ups and downs. Again, in this life, there are going to be, in serving on mission, there are significant God moments. And this is why I keep saying, hey guys, we need to live on mission, because who doesn't want to partner with God and see God do amazing things? But it's also going to be filled with significant human moments. And even though our hearts may grow weary and our emotions frayed and our thinking uncleared, there is a grace that Jesus has for us for the days that we are a part of. The Savior is not done. He loves us. And he wants to work in and through us to grow our capacity and to grow his kingdom. So this is how we're going to close. We're going to sing a song. That's what we generally do around here. But again, as I started, I recognize the moment you start talking about mission, there's that part of our lives, you're like going, oh my goodness, I don't know if I'm up to this ride. I'm a little tired. I'm a little like, it's been a crazy week. It's been a crazy month. It's been a crazy season. Sometimes just the weight of that stuff just is like, can I just tell you, there's a God who loves you. And there's a grace he wants to meet us with. And so we just want to take time just to respond to his grace. Because how many know that even in the midst of all the ups and all the downs, he's still consistently present. He is our faithful Savior, God and King. And so this is how we're going to end. We're going to give opportunity just to pray with some of you. So I love what it tells us over, Jesus says this. He says, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. Because this is what I know in this room. I know there are people that are going through all the ups and downs. Some of you, you've had a hard week, hard season. We've been through all that. Can I just tell you, there's grace that Jesus wants to measure out to you today. There's grace that he wants. And so this is how we're going to access that this morning. I've asked some people to help just pray with people. And we want you to know that you don't have to go through this stuff alone. See, part of the gift that Jesus provides for us is his people. And so I've asked Barb. Where's Barb? I saw her earlier. Where? Wave. Okay, Barb's over there. I'll have Barb come stand up over here. I've asked Eric. He's going to come stand up here. I'll be up here. Levita, you can as well. If you're going through stuff, like, you don't have to be embarrassed about it or anything. If you're just saying, hey, would you just pray with me? Let's just agree together for grace to meet us. Let's not leave this place without allowing Jesus to meet us even in our moment, in the midst of our ups and downs, because as we do, we'll find out that there's this comfort, there's this strength, there's this peace. And so the worship team is just simply going to lead us. And I know it's always awkward because you're like, you come to the front, you're like, I don't want people to see that I got problems. Okay, let's play a game. Everybody ready for the game? How many of you got issues? Raise your hands. Okay, look at the people, look around. Okay, yeah. Okay, look at all the liars. No, I'm just kidding. How many know we all got issues? And it's okay to have issues. If you have issues, it just means you're human. And so, like, this is a place just where we recognize we need God's grace to meet us. And so we want to take time to pray with you and just believe God to do something in you. So, Lord, as we get ready just to respond to your word, Lord, I thank you that you are faithful in the ups and the downs. And God, we want our hearts and our lives to be steady in you. God, I know that there are moments, there are seasons, there are questions, there are fears, there are doubts. There's all those things. God, there's the hope of those divine moments and opportunities and God, to experience more and to allow our lives to be used by you. Yet, God, we also wrestle with all this human stuff. Lord Jesus, you love us so much that you came to meet us, to rescue, to redeem and restore. And Lord, we simply want to respond to your word and allow your grace to do its work in our hearts. So So while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many here this morning would just simply say, you know what? I'm going through some things, and I need grace to meet them. Like, you know what? There are high things that have been good, but I just, man, there's a struggle that I'm just wrestling with. Maybe it's not the answer you're hoping for. Maybe it's situations and circumstances that are, your expectations are a little off. Maybe there's some areas in your life that you know are just hindering your walk with God. And you're saying, you know what? And you would say this morning, I need God's grace to meet me and help me. If that's you, would you be courageous enough to just raise your hand, because I want to pray with you. See these hands. And that one and that one. Is there anyone else? You don't have to be afraid. Lord, we see these hands. Lord, you see the hands, you see the hearts, you see the needs. And God, I just ask that your grace would begin to minister in need. Lord, I thank you that you're with us. In Jesus' name, I want to invite you to stand. If you raise your hand, I want to invite you to come. We want to pray with you. If you didn't raise your hand, you're like, well, I should have done that. You can come ahead. We'll pray with you too. But let's allow his grace to meet us. Let's all stand as we sing.